biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, things have been a little contentious in our studios the last 4 months or so. For whatever the reasons are, whenever it's football season, Hickey and I, we go at it. And we throw like knives at one another. And it gets vicious. And we box. And most of the time, I just throw haymaker after haymaker after haymaker at Hickey. And he's in the corner trying to fight back, but he just can't find a way to get a punch or two off. Sometimes he gets a good jab, and then I fall back, and I have to get myself back up, and then I just clock him right over the cabeza again. But I now see a smile, which I haven't seen in 4 months at a Hot Take Hickey. He's been moping around. Oh, my Colts stink. Oh, Jeff Saturday's my coach. Oh, my BFF Frank Reich got fired by the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, my owner's Jim Irsay. Oh, Matt Ryan was a disaster. Hickey's been one miserable SOB and one somber SOB this football season. But for the first time since maybe September, like right after Labor Day, Hickey is smiling. Hickey is pumped up. Hickey's doing the Cabbage Patch Kid dance because he loves the way that I just eviscerated for an hour Kyrie Irving and just totally destroyed Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving is an insufferable jackass. And the dude's a fraud. He's a liar. He is a pain in the rear end. And I needed to take 10 aspirin during the break because just talking about Kyrie Irving gives me a headache. But this clown and Kyrie Irving to have the audacity to say, oh, yeah, the Nets aren't going to give me a contract extension, so I want a trade request when you never really show up and actually play and you do so for 3 months. And now you need an extension. It needs to happen now. Like, how about you get through a full season? How about you get through a full season? And this is also why I can't stand Kyrie, because he only cares about himself. Like, here's the irony of all this. Kyrie Irving keeps on looking for something else, but every situation he's been in, it's actually a good situation. In Cleveland, he's with LeBron. Oh, I don't want to be number two. I got to leave LeBron, so let me go to the Celtics. You have a young roster that looked up to Kyrie Irving. You had guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they looked up to Kyrie, and then they couldn't stand Kyrie because Kyrie Irving is a royal pain in the tuchus. So then Kyrie has to leave Boston. Because he's his own worst enemy. Then he goes to Brooklyn. Oh, I always wanted to play with KD. I got to pick Brooklyn. I'm home. This is where I want to be for the rest of my career. Blah, 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 blah. And now Kyrie isn't happy in Brooklyn. And hasn't been happy ever since he arrived in Brooklyn. Even though this is the place that he wanted to be. And a month ago, reportedly, even after everything that's happened the last few years, he said he wanted to end his career in Brooklyn. Like, you look at the situations, Hickey, that this guy has been in. He's been with LeBron James in Cleveland, where they won a championship together. iconic. Then he goes to Boston with a young roster. Imagine if Kyrie Irving just wasn't a cancer. The Celtics just got to a finals last year. You recall when they got to the Eastern Conference final as well. Like, that's a good team. Imagine if Kyrie just wasn't a selfish pain in the ass. You would have had Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving. They probably would have won a championship. The Celtics almost won a championship last year. Imagine if they had Kyrie. Because say what you want about Kyrie. I used to be a big fan of the guy. I can't stand his guts now. But the guy's a heck of a player. Like, he's having a great season. And now you're in Brooklyn, where through all the trade requests, I know KD is hurt right now, but you had a team that was in a really good spot this year to maybe shock everyone and actually go on a run. And now, because you're not going to get an extension, because this team is skeptical of guaranteeing you future years and a long-term deal, it's up. I got to blow this whole thing up. It's actually impressive how much of a jerk this guy is, Hickey. But I know you can't stand him. And I know in some twisted way, the Knicks, right, for years, Knicks fans now won't admit this, Kyrie Irving, right, there was rumors that he was going to go there. I remember the graphics that used to be shown when they thought you guys thought you were going to get the number one overall pick and get Zion and Kyrie and KD were going to show and we're all going to go there. And you got your hopes up a little bit that maybe Kyrie would be joining the Knicks, but now you're sitting there, Hickey, and you're like, wow, Gelb, just keep on preaching about Kyrie because you can't stand this guy. And you're happy that your team dodge the biggest bullet in the NBA these days in Kyrie Irving. So now we're getting along.
I feel very bad for Nets fans. I do. They are good people. They do not deserve the last three and a half years of the hell that Kyrie Irving has put them through. And that's what it's been. On the court, off the court, it has been nothing but hell.
And can we be honest, too? I know you're being a nice guy here. You hate the Nets.
No, I hate Kyrie.
You
There's
hate
no
the Nets.
Player I hate more in sports. I don't hate anyone. I like to criticize some, but I really don't feel an emotional hatred. Like Tom Brady, like I hate him, but he's kind of cool. Like he was likable.
You're just jealous.
I hate Bill Belichick, but it's like
jealous.
There's no athlete, especially I hate more than Kyrie Irving. So it wasn't ever a Nets hatred. I like Kevin Durant. I want to see Kevin Durant win. I will tell you this.
You're lying.
I'm being dead serious.
No. Here's why you're lying.
If the Nets trade Kyrie Irving. Not that I'll root for them, but I'll enjoy them a lot more than when Kyrie's there, that's for sure.
I remember when the great Bob Huesler used to work here. And there would be often many times, if the Nets were losing, I would hear you on the talk back in between breaks to Bob. What's the score, Bob? Shame that the Nets are down by 15 points right now. You can't tell me.
That's right, because why?
No, hold on. Kyrie's barely even played. You can't tell me that you actually root and want to see the best for the Nets. The Nets do annoy you a little bit.
No, it was just this whole declaration of they're here once they signed in 2019 of, oh my God, the super team is here. They're going to win how many titles? And then all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving does what he did in Cleveland, did what he did in Boston. What a shock he's doing here in Brooklyn. And now it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. No, you should have seen it from the beginning. I don't like Kyrie. I'm glad this is not working out. And again, if he's traded tomorrow, not that I'll root. Again, as a Knicks fan, I'm not going to root for the Nets, but my hatred for the Nets will go right away.
This is to the rest of the nation. This is the typical Knicks fan. They tell you they don't hate the Nets, but they do hate the Nets. If we hooked up Hickey to a lie detector test and asked him if he will ever root or will ever enjoy seeing the Brooklyn Nets do well, and he said yes, we would detect a lie. There would be an enormous big fat lie.
I do not hate the Nets. I really don't hate the Islanders that much. When you are a fan in a city with two teams and you are the little brother, like let's say the Mets are compared to the Yankees, I hate the Yankees. I won't hide that as a Mets fan. I root for them to fail. But when you're on the other side, like the Rangers are the biggest team in hockey compared to the Islanders and Devils. The Knicks are the biggest team in New York compared to the Nets.
But the Knicks never win anything.
But it's different. So the way it's covered, the way even the fans root, it is different.
Don't get me wrong. The Knicks are the New York basketball team. But for the most of our life, the Knicks have been a big fat joke. So really, in the Knicks fans' mind, like the thing that they win the most is when they get to kick and kind of puff their chest out about the incompetence of the Nets. Like, that's just the way that I feel about it. And I know that you guys say, like Knicks fans, oh, we're above the Nets. We don't care about the Nets. You guys do care about the Nets. You do. Just admit that. Knicks fans, they do care about the Nets. I know that the Nets in the New York sports landscape are really like a little pimple, right? A very small pimple on like the back of your leg. You barely notice them. You barely see them. But it did drive the Knicks fan insane when the Nets got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Well, I mean, yeah, all year people were saying, oh, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, go to the Knicks, go to the Knicks, go to the Knicks. So not that it was, you know, it seemed, according to everyone, like a slam dunk, and they don't go. It was surprising. But again, now you're looking to see how it went. Not that the Knicks have won anything, but it's kind of like, all right, Knicks and Nets, or the Nets have won, what, one playoff series in the last 3.5 years? The Knicks have won zero. A lot less drama, a lot more enjoyable, but...
It's not like the Knicks don't have drama.
It's nowhere near what the Nets are going through, that's for sure, with Kevin Durant and what Kyrie Irving bring. Where, I mean, they are forcing...
Sure, in the last year old 2 years.
Producer, Mike Buscaglia, biggest Nets fan I ever know. I mean, he borderline hates the Nets and borderline hates basketball because of what they have put him through.
In the last 2 years, yes, but in the last 20 years, it still pales in comparison to what James Dolan has done.
Oh, I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying.
And you know what?
Similar... postseason success with a lot less drama.
I hope the Knicks start kicking ass because I love the Rose family and Leon Rose. So I wish your organization nothing but the best. That's a truthful statement, but you trying to say that you don't care about the Nets and if Kyrie leaves that you want them to do well.
You'll see.
I don't buy that whatsoever. Because I remember many, many days, even before Kyrie was even on the team, where Hickey would be running around here at CBS Sports Radio, just trashing the Nets. Hey, how the Nets doing? How the Nets doing? You'd be trashing the Nets. And anytime you get a little shot at the Brooklyn Nets, you do take one. Now, let me say this. Totally going to the NFL. There is buzz that the Saints are a potential suitor for Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, according to Jeremy Fowler. I could see Carr winding up with the Saints. And you look at that division. You have the Panthers. You got the Saints, you got the Falcons, and now the Bucs without Brady. Whoever gets the best quarterback this offseason, they're going to be the favorite to win that division. Because you look at the Falcons, they don't have this great roster. The Bucs, their Super Bowl roster is declining, but you still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You then look at a team like the Saints, they have a good defense, but their offense is never healthy. And you look at Carolina, they have a good defense, but other than DJ Moore, they don't have much on the offensive side of the ball. Now, just because you go get the best quarterback does not mean that you're definitely going to win that division. But if Derek Carr goes to the Saints, and let's say Tampa Bay is starting Kyle Trask, and the Falcons are still starting Desmond Ridder, and the Panthers... I don't know, like run it back with Sam Darnold and draft someone and then want to wait a year till they go to that guy, the Saints then would be the favorite to win the division. But are you really going to win anything other than that? Probably not. But I could see Carr, if it's the Saints or just any team in the NFC South, and I think if you're the Panthers, you're probably looking for a more long-term solution. Maybe if you're the Bucs, you want to do a quick fix, little bridge gap quarterback, from Brady until you eventually, a few years from now, find your guy. You want to keep whatever core you have from sinking and just totally going with a youngster that may not be ready. But I would think if the Saints get Carr and there's no other drastic movement at the quarterback position in the NFC South, Hickey, that you would be thinking, even if it's not pretty, like you could be 8-9 again and win that division, that the Saints would win that division.
Yeah, I have a hard time arguing with. Like I said, the only team I look at still is the Bucs. And if you're saying it's, even if it's not Kyle Trask, but it's some, you know, maybe outside of Jimmy G, some, you know, if they go Sam Darnold or some journeyman quarterback, or if they hit the reset button, obviously that's different. But I'm with you. If there's no real dramatic quarterback move from any of the other three teams, Saints should be, even with all their injury history and problems, still should be the favorite in the South.
And I would say outside of the Saints or any teams in the South, the other potential destinations for Carr, And I know this is, we're going to get an answer if he gets released or traded within 3 days after the Super Bowl. So this is coming. And now you see that he's allowed to go talk to other teams, and there's teams that have already potentially maybe have even agreed to compensation with the Raiders, and they're cognizant of what it would take to go out there and get Derek Carr. But let's just say if we explore all the NFC South teams, and it's teams outside of the NFC South, I would say there's probably two teams that come to mind. The Commanders. And I think the Commanders would actually be a good destination. Now, you heard his brother talk about how they want alignment from the top down. Daniel Snyder, he's not trustworthy. And then the Jets, but then the Jets, you have this is the tricky part for the Jets. They're in play for Aaron Rodgers. Sauce Gardner today is tweeting, "Hey, Aaron Rodgers, I got to tell you something." "Oh, wait, never mind. I forgot what I have to tell you." The flirtation has already begun, whether it's Joe Douglas reportedly being at the Senior Bowl and telling everyone they're going to go make a play for Aaron Rodgers, and that's been kind of the talk in league circles. But if you're the Jets, if you wait for Rodgers, and then let's say Rodgers gets traded to the Raiders, and Carr already makes his decision, whether that's via trade or he gets released and signed somewhere, then you're SOL. Because then you didn't get Rodgers and you didn't get Carr. So that to me with the Jets is fascinating. How much longer do they wait for the Rodgers thing? Because I think it feels like the Rodgers thing is going to take a while to develop. Where Carr, we're going to get our answer or start to get our answers in the next like week two at max when it comes with Derek Carr, Hickey.
Timing's going to be very tough, and I wonder if that's going to lower the market right now or make a trade almost impossible just because teams would rather wait to see, could we get Aaron Rodgers, could we get someone else, and wait for Carr to get released rather than trade for him, like I said, in less than 2 weeks.
And it seems like right now in the AFC, the only legit destinations for Carr that like have been, excuse me, or for Rodgers that's getting the most momentum are the Raiders and then also the Jets. The Raiders don't have that problem of having to wait on Derek Carr because they're getting rid of him. So they can wait as long as they want to go get Aaron Rodgers. Now, you could have that same conversation, like what about a Jimmy G with the Raiders as it is for the Jets? When you look at the Jets potentially pursuing Carr, and do you wait for Rodgers? Or you go get Carr, the Raiders could say the same thing. Do you wait for Rodgers? Or if you go get Jimmy G, do you pounce on that fairly quickly? So we'll see how this plays on out. We'll come on back. We'll talk to Joe DeCamera in 5 minutes. And then coming up at 7:40, we got a bunch of destinations for Jimmy G, and we will fully dissect those potential destinations. But let's go to Philly next, and we'll talk with Joe DeCamera.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We leave for Arizona coming up on Sunday. We will be broadcasting live from Radio Row Monday through Friday next week. I'll be going to Super Bowl 57 as well. So we're looking forward to next week. But first, let's go to Philadelphia. And now joining us, he's going to be the new morning host on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And that's our pal, Joe DeCameras. We'll talk a little Eagles and Chiefs coming up for Super Bowl 57. First off, Joe, I know I've talked to you behind the scenes, but I want to say it on the air. Congratulations on the new gig, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Appreciate the kind words. Looking forward to the Super Bowl, and yeah, there's a lot going on here for sure.
If I were to would have told you before the start of the season that the Eagles would have been in the Super Bowl, what would you have told me?
Wow. I would have told you that it's unlikely. I would not have told you that it's a complete impossibility, because it was obvious before the season that the Eagles had made a number of additions that were likely to pretty dramatically improve the club, A.J. Brown being a really big one. Hassan Reddick has worked out better than expected. So, you know, certainly there's been more done here than I would have thought. But we knew they were going to be pretty good. I mean, they got James Bradbury, so you knew you had two good cornerbacks. The big mystery, of course, was Jalen Hurts and whether he could take a leap forward. He took about six leaps forward, and he has made an incredible difference.
And you looked at the NFC before the start of the year. Like, we were talking about the Rams, the Bucks, the Packers, and then who would be that fourth team, and could that fourth team challenge the other three? And all those three teams that I just mentioned, Joe, really opened it up because all three were duds.
Well, they were, and it really is one of the weaker conferences, candidly, I think we've ever seen. I mean, that did help the Eagles. I don't know in the end that it really mattered, because even if there were three or four great teams, the Eagles very well still could have found their way to the Super Bowl. But I think the Eagles are a great football team. And Zach will tell you this, I think they're the best team in the NFL since the 2013 Seahawks. I really believe that. If you go through the last decade, I feel very confident the Eagles are the best team since the 2013 Seahawks, and maybe better than that squad. But it was made easier. The path was certainly made easier by a really easy conference. And by the way, as exhibited by, I mean, the Giants at the end were frauds. Not that they weren't okay, but they weren't great. Minnesota clearly wasn't great. And so it really came down to the Eagles and San Fran, which I think the Eagles were going to win anyway. But once San Fran had their quarterback situation in the conference title game, I mean, that was pretty much a wrap. The Eagles really cruised their way to the Super Bowl.
Joe DeCamera here with us. So I had Brandon Graham on back in September, and he said this team was better than the team that won Super Bowl 52. I saw Fletcher Cox today said that the 2017 team would have defeat this team. What makes you think, just wondering, that this team is better than the team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago?
You know, I think they just have more good players, more great players. I mean, ultimately, in the end, Jalen is more of a sure bet than Nick Foles was. Now look, Foles on the biggest stage, the Super Bowl, and the next biggest stage, the NFC Championship game, played two of the greatest games of his life. And you really can't play better than he did in those two games. Prior to that, he was shaky for a couple games. Jalen had one game this year that I would call down. One. I mean, and that's not really counting the last game of the season when they were kind of playing hide and seek with him because they knew they were going to win the game against Giants backups, and then they wanted him to go full bore. You know, this team, look, both teams incredibly strong offensive and defensive line. I think the 17 team had a slightly better running game with a little bit more of a diversified backfield. But, man, this team is better at wide receiver. They're better at cornerback. They're not as good at safety. They're better at linebacker. Both teams really good, but I think this one's better.
Talking to Joe DeCamera, when you go into this game coming up next week, the Andy Reid feel in Philadelphia, I know he hasn't coached there since 2012, but you know the importance that he had in Philadelphia sports. Just what's kind of been the conversation from this past week as you start to think about the game, and obviously the storyline that no one could get past is the Andy Reid one.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated, and it's something that I would tell you, Zach, I think people are very entrenched in what they feel. And what I mean by that is you really have three categories. You have love Andy Reid, you have like Andy Reid, and you have can't stand Andy Reid. Can't stand Andy Reid is probably about 15% based on conversations from past years, maybe 20%. He certainly had his faults as a coach that tripped the Eagles up in some big spots. But there is, for the most part, tremendous appreciation for what Andy Reid brought to Philly. And there are a number of Eagles fans that do love him. And it's created an odd dynamic entering this game because while you do get some people to say, man, I can't wait to beat Andy Reid, I think there's a lot of people that feel, I don't want to say uncomfortable about the Eagles playing Andy Reid. I'll just say this. There's a lot of people that I don't believe will derive joy out of seeing Andy Reid lose.
Interesting.
And that's obviously the objective for Eagles fans, is to see the Eagles win and Andy Reid lose. But there's a lot of people that won't get pleasure out of that the way people enjoy seeing Bill Belichick lose in 2017.
Here's the thing with Andy. I also think you'll get some people that will say, oh, well, he never won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. But then I think a lot of those people get quiet if that's their take, because the Eagles eventually won one. Like, if the Eagles did not win Super Bowl 52, I think there would be a little bit more animosity, Joe DeCamera, leading up to this one, because if they would lose to him, it was like, well, he never brought a championship here, and then he robbed us of winning a first title.
Well, I agree with that. And I also think, by the way, Andy Reid having won one in Kansas City also mutes the conversation to a large extent when people say, you know, he's just not that good a coach.
Yeah.
Anybody that says that is an idiot. An idiot. And there are people that still say that, so there are idiots in the world. I mean, the guy's got the fifth most wins in the history of the National Football League. He's going to finish third or fourth all time. You know, he's been to a bazillion conference title games in both conferences. I think it's like eight or something. So he's an amazing football coach, and he's also a good guy. I mean, most people around here know he's a good guy. So, yes, I agree with your assessment, though. The Eagles winning certainly took some of the edge off of it in that regard.
And I also will say this, too, Joe DeCamera. Howie Roseman, how many times has that guy pretty much been fired by the fan base? And whenever people start to doubt him, and they had many reasons to doubt him, he finds a way to prevail.
Well, he does. But let me circle back to Andy for one more thing, and then I'll address Howie
sure.
more specifically. You know, there's an interesting tie-in between Howie and Andy that most people around here know, which is that Howie came up through Andy, through Joe Banner, who used to be the team president, at a time when the Eagles had to have a lot of success, even though it wasn't a championship success. And in many ways, Andy built the blueprint for the modern-day Eagles, which is heavy investment in the offensive and defensive line through the draft and through, at times, free agency. And that's how the Eagles won in 2017. That's how they won. That's how they're going to win next week. And so there's an appreciation there. Look, Howie's a remarkable GM. I think he has a chance to find his way in the future to the steps of Canton, Ohio. I really believe that. Now, obviously, he's got to win another title for that to happen. Maybe he's got to win two more titles for that to happen. But I think the Eagles have been incredibly fortunate to have him. He's a great GM. You're going to have your dips, and 2020 was a big dip. I mean, the Eagles stunk, and Howie was very culpable. Not the most culpable. Carson was the most culpable, by far. But Howie had a bad couple years there, and it led to a really bad 2020. But the reality is Howie Roseman is an exceptional general manager.
I never thought about it until you just said it, because we usually just think of coaches and players, right, for the Hall of Fame. But if Howie Roseman wins this Super Bowl, you could make a case that maybe he's already Hall of Famer, but he's a lock to get in the Hall of Fame if you bring two Super Bowl championships to Philly?
Hey, look, I don't think lock. I don't, because I'd have to look at the history to see how many. I don't know if the Broncos GM from the late 90s got in. I don't even remember who it was. Obviously, Shanahan was the coach. So I don't know about that. What makes this one pretty unique, though, Zach, really unique, if the Eagles win, this will be the closest for an organization to have two titles with a different coach and a different quarterback.
Yeah.
Since the Raiders of 77 became the Raiders of 80 with a different coach and a different quarterback. This is rare, and this will be the only time in the history of the salary cap era that will have happened.
You look at Sirianni. I remember last year, Joe DeCamera, when he had that flower analogy, I go, oh, he's toast. He just doesn't get Philadelphia. And now a year later, I know they improved down the stretch. I don't think you have a coach that understands Philadelphia better than him. He practically seems like he's from Philly. What really changed with Sirianni? I know it helps when you get better players, but I totally disagree with what Julian Love said the other day. This guy has turned into a really damn good coach.
Well, no question. Look, Love's comment was preposterous. I mean, obviously, he's, you know, Sirianni's propped up by good talent, but he is, I believe, a legitimately good coach. I don't think he could have done a better job than he's done this year. I mean, I don't. When he wasn't a finalist for Coach of the Year, which is just absurd, you know, my rhetorical question I ask people is, what did he have to do better? I mean, his team went 14-3. You know, he lost two games when his starting quarterback got injured. And I guess you can say, well, Shanahan won without his starting quarterback. But what people nationally, I guess, somehow missed, the Eagles didn't have to win those games. I mean, they were specifically not going all out because they knew they had three games to win one game. I mean, they needed to win one game for home field advantage. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's just true. So, you know, and I'm not saying they didn't try with their effort, but even when they, you know, brought Jalen back, they were still careful to make sure he stayed less injured. I mean, they were careful because they knew they were going to be playing in this thing called the Super Bowl in February. So Sirianni played it right the whole time. They could have gone 16-1, and I guess he then would have been the coach of the year. But Sirianni, I think, is a great coach. I think he's got a really good staff. You know what? He definitely gets the players to play very hard. And one thing I think he's really good at also is scheme. I mean, the bottom line is, let's be real, coaching comes down to leading men. It comes down to putting your players in the best position to succeed on both sides of the ball with good scheme. It comes down to hiring the right coaches. You know, and then there's a little bit in there that, you know, you hope that he messages things to the public well, which he has improved at. So I think he's a terrific coach.
Well, here's also the other thing, Joe DeCamera. You hear the way the players talk about him. Like in my conversations I've had with Hassan Reddick, he raves about Sirianni. But more so, I know that what you could say about missing the two games without Jalen Hurts, they lost them both and all that. Who thought Jalen Hurts was going to be an MVP type of quarterback before the start of the season? Like, even if you're optimistic about Jalen Hurts, don't thought it could be an MVP type of quarterback before the year. Like, Sirianni has to get some credit for that.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, look, the reality is the player gets the most credit because he's the player.
Yeah.
But the coaching staff has to get credit. I mean, you just do not get a leap of this magnitude without good coaching. And that's a combination of Sirianni and, obviously, you know, Steichen, the offense coordinator, and Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach. They all have a hand in it. And you know, the other thing, Zach, is Sirianni leaned in. And I'm not saying this was the most difficult decision, but not every coach would have done this. He leaned in to the full Jalen Hurts experience. He was not afraid to have his quarterback absorb a lot of hits and use his legs and threat. See, here's the ultimate key to the Eagles' offense. It's not that Jalen Hurts runs. It's that Jalen Hurts threatens to run. And because he threatens to run, just watch this in the Super Bowl. Because he is a threat to run, because of how good he is when he runs, it opens up every aspect of the Eagles' offense, including the running game when Jalen Hurts then hands the ball to Miles Sanders. Because you have these guys on the outside edge, outside linebackers and defensive ends, they don't know, am I supposed to crash down to Miles Sanders? Am I supposed to wait? Am I going for Jalen Hurts? Is he going to be a quarterback as a passer? Is he going to come around the edge as a runner? These guys are frozen. And that and the offensive line's greatness is the preeminent element of this offense that helps it go.
What's the latest with the shoulder? Just wondering with Jalen Hurts. I know it's been over a month ago, but it's still a topic of conversation.
Look, we thought he was mostly out of the danger zone because he threw well, even when the shoulder wasn't great. And being over a month removed, it seemed like he'd be able to take hits, which he did last week. What was a little strange last game is he was more inaccurate than he had probably been at any point this season. So the question is that a byproduct of the shoulder? Or was it just, you know, four or five passes that, for whatever reason, just kind of got away from him? Impossible for me to know the answer. I will just tell you this. I don't think the Eagles should worry too much about the shoulder. I don't think Eagles fans should. It's been a while. I think you'll get the full Jalen Hurts go.
All right, when you get to this game, I know we still have a more than a week until we get to see this game played. I'm leaning Eagles right now. I think they're the better team. Clearly Mahomes is always a threat. We'll see how much healthier he is off the ankle. We saw what he did on practically one ankle against the Bengals. But what type of game do you kind of see playing out next Sunday?
I see a game when the Eagles roster beats the roster of the Chiefs. And what I mean by that is, look, I think the two quarterbacks are close. I think Mahomes is better. I think Mahomes is the best player in football. But I think when you take the other 52 players on both teams, you have a dramatic advantage to the Eagles. I'm telling you, Zach, I think the Eagles are going to win by 10 to 14 points. I think they're going to win pretty comfortably. Here's the analogy I'll give you. When the Eagles and Patriots played in 2017, which was February 2018 for the Super Bowl, I remember before the game, ESPN did a big study of the 106 players eligible to play in the game. They literally ranked them from 1 to 106. They had Brady ranked 1. They had Rob Gronkowski ranked 2. And then they had a ton of Eagles. I believe it was 14 out of the top 20 players were Eagles. I believe this game is really similar in that regard. Mahomes is amazing and deserves to be ranked 1. Kelsey's a great player for the Chiefs. But the Eagles are going to have a ton of the top 20, 25 players in this game. The Eagles roster is going to win the game. And I'll add this, because someone asked me earlier in the week, what is the biggest advantage the Eagles have? The biggest advantage the Eagles have is Patrick Mahomes' contract. See, that's the difference. The quarterbacks are similar. Now, Mahomes is better, but they're, you know, Hurts is great. One guy makes about $50 million, one guy makes $1 million. That's how you have James Bradbury. That's how you have A.J. Brown. That's how you have Hassan Reddick. The Eagles team is better than the Chiefs team because the Eagles star quarterback makes about 1/50th of what the Chiefs star quarterback makes.
What do you say?
That's why the Eagles will win the football game.
What do you say to people that still doubt how good Hurts is and are maybe saying this is just a one-year run?
The only thing they have a chance to be right about is if Jalen Hurts has a style that leads to injury, that leads to diminished play. And that is possible in the years to come. But other than that, here's what people are missing, Zach. I'm telling you, I know what they're missing. There are people that think what Jalen Hurts and the Eagles do is a gimmick. It's college football style. It's not a pro-style offense. What people don't realize is it's not a gimmick. It's where the NFL is at for many teams right now. It's where the NFL will be for the vast majority of the teams very soon. And it's not going anywhere. And Jalen Hurts is in many ways, you know, the quarterback of the future, if you will. And I'll frame it this way, Zach, and I feel really confident in the statement I'm about to make. Nobody has ever played the style of football that Jalen Hurts plays at quarterback better than Jalen Hurts in the history of football. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about a quarterback, read option, zone read, ride to the side, whatever you want to call it, RPOs, all that stuff. When it's that with the threat of the run by the quarterback, the handoff to the running back, or to keep the ball to drop back and pass. See, Lamar Jackson's a bad passer, and there are plenty of quarterbacks that are bad runners. Jalen Hurts is the perfect combination of both. Now, can he improve? Certainly. Do I think Steve Young could have done this 25 years ago if Steve Young was trained in this? Absolutely. But what people don't recognize about Hurts that we in Philly know, he's been training at this for about 10 or 12 years. This isn't like Jalen Hurts just stumbled upon how to do this. Jalen Hurts did this in college. Jalen Hurts did this in high school. So when people say, well, Peyton Manning's great at reading defenses, and he was exceptional at it, pre-snap and post-snap. What people don't realize when they think Hurts is gimmicky, Hurts has been trained to read the outside edge rusher for the last 10 years. He knows what that guy's going to do and where he's going to go. He makes the decision after the snap whether it's going to be a run or a pass based on where that guy's standing, and he's become a much better thrower. Nobody has ever done what Hurts does better than Hurts.
Joe, we appreciate the time. Enjoy next week. Thanks so much.
Have a great night, Zach.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Matt, who listens to us in Wisconsin, Hickey, who's a big-time listener to the show, he says, do yourself a favor while in Arizona next week. Find yourself a box of cactus candy and enjoy. I know you are a health guy. Hold on. I know I eat somewhat healthy. I would not call myself a health guy, though. But this is worth it. All I ask in return is an honest opinion of it. So, Hickey, we're going to have to find some cactus candy, whatever that is. He sends a picture. It looks like a brownie.
That looks pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Like, I'm intrigued. So, it's chocolate? So, it's not cactus?
It looks like it's chocolate.
Was I tagged in this?
No, you weren't. I could text it to you, though, real quickly, so we could get your quick thoughts on this. I don't know how to... That was just kind of funny the way that you did. Is it cactus?
Well, it says cactus candy, so I assume that it was like, you know.
I think that would hurt a little bit if you're eating that.
Well, obviously, you take the spikes. Oh, let's see. Here we go.
What do you think? That looks like chocolate, right? It looks like a brownie with just like sugar on top of it.
This might be like syrup from the cactus plant. I got to look. It looks, I would not say chocolate. It looks a little more rose-colored or dark purple.
Well, let's do this. Can we Google this real quickly? What is cactus candy? Let's see. What is cactus candy?
I am definitely interested so far.
It's pieces of cactus.
Jelly
cactus, which have been coated and treated with a simple syrup mixture. Good job out of you. Good
I know
job
my candy.
Out of you.
I know my candy, that's for sure.
I thought what you were saying was the most ridiculous thing in the world. So it's treated with the simple syrup mixture to make it immortal. It sort of resembles gumdrops, but flat in texture and look. However, keep an eye on the ingredients. As one candy blogger noted, in a sea of a cactus candy flavor assortment, only one flavor, which is prickly pear, actually contained cactus.
Hmm. So that's a little bit of a tease. Good to know. Prickly pear, though.
Now, to be fair, on the photo that he showed, doesn't that look like a brownie in the photo that he showed us that I just texted you to?
Well, that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
It looked purplish to me, or like I said, a little bit of a rose color, which is why I went gummy more than chocolate.
I'm going to send you another photo. This, I think, does a better representation. Where this looks more like I don't know.
Looking at them now, they look good.
Like a Sour Patch Kid in a rectangular
gummy
form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you just see the new photo that I sent?
Yes,
you?
I've been Googling them, so I've been seeing a lot recently here. They look. I'm in. I'm in. Thank you to Matt for the suggestion. 100%.
You got a few things now on your plate. You got
what else?
You got to get me Jim Irsay if we see him on Radio Row.
I mean,
you should be able to speak his language.
Jim better be right now knee deep in interviews. He cannot spend any time on Radio Row.
Wait, knee deep in interviews? They've interviewed everyone 9,000 times.
And I go 9,001 times now.
Stop.
For each one.
Jim Irsay, if he's around, which I have not usually seen him on Radio Row.
Good.
And you.
Stay away. Well, actually, you know why? When you do the interview, you got to do it in front of his private plane.
Oh,
he doesn't go to Radio Row. You got to go to him, and the engines are blaring.
McAfee. Who we're like kind of buddy-buddy with on Radio Row. And now you got to find cactus candy.
Cactus candy, which seemingly should not be that hard to find.
Now that's the easiest one to go get. And you got to get me either Irsay or McAfee. Anyway, you can think about the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We got some Jimmy G destinations. Commanders, Raiders, Jets, Dolphins, Ravens, Bucks, Cardinals, maybe the Titans as well. We'll talk about which one of those are good fits when we not come on back, because we got to talk to Matt Lombardo. We'll do that at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, which would be 5:20 p.m. Pacific. So, Hickey, gonna look out for the Cactus Candy, McAfee, and Jim Irsay. You may want to bring a cowboy hat, maybe to Radio Row, to try to lure Jim over to our set.
The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, is on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings it to you, streaming live for free, Sunday, February 12th on the Odyssey app.
The Eagles have been the NFC's best team.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Philadelphia Eagles
are going to the Super Bowl
again.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your Super Bowl, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.